Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. The Lord is our refuge and strength. O come, let us worship. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice. The Lord is our refuge and strength. Oh, come, let us worship. A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced and aged. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old, and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Oh yes, you did laugh." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. I kept my faith even when I said, "I am greatly afflicted." I said in my consternation, "Everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me?" I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Christ Jesus, by divine nature, did not grasp for himself a rank as equal with God. He chose to empty himself, becoming a humble slave and living the life of a man. And human in every way, he abased himself still more, obedient to death on a cross. So God has exalted him on high and given to him the name, the greatest of all names, so that at Jesus' name every knee should bend low, in heaven, on earth, in the depths, and every tongue proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Lord be with you, and also with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out and cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans. But go, rather, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick. Raise the dead. cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment. Give without payment. The Gospel of Christ. Thanks be to God.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today I propose to look briefly at the three readings and draw some links between them. Genesis 18:9-15 is a tale of three men who visit Abraham. He offers hospitality, as is common within Oriental traditions. As Abraham is providing food and drink to the guests and honoring them, they announce that they'll be back the next year, and Sarah, his wife, will have a child. Sarah is in a tent behind, and she hears this, and she laughs, because both of them are advanced in age. There's a parallel account in Genesis chapter 17, 15-22. In this case, God speaks to Abraham and says, I will bless Sarah, your wife. I will give you a son by her. I will bless her. She shall give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? So what's going on in these two passages? Genesis 17 is much more magisterial. It comes from the same priestly source as Leviticus and a lot of the accounts about the temple and Leviticus and temple worship. And it uses language to indicate the choice and election of God with respect to Isaac, the election of Israel, and the place of Israel and the kings of Israel among the nations. In other words, it explains the origin of the people of God as something that is a result of God's election, not by anything done. It's not earned. It's by grace. It's by God's free will in choosing Abraham. And through a miraculous birth, providing Isaac to begin and initiate the building of this nation. It also does a second thing. It explains the name. Yitzhak in Hebrew is a third person singular future tense of the verb tzach, which means to laugh. So Yitzhak means he will laugh. So both stories account or explain how it comes about that Isaac got that name. But that's a minor part of it. The major part has to do with explaining the birth of the nation. It's a foundational story, and it focuses on election, upon grace, and upon God's action in history. The second is Romans 5:1-8, and we have this theme of grace also continuing. Paul talks about being justified by faith, peace with God through Christ. The grace of God is something which is acting in history, and is something which has given us access to God's peace through grace. And then Paul says, while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. In this passage in Romans 5, the focus on faith and grace shows something of the means by which God acts in history. Now, the word grace actually is well known in Greek circles, in Greek religion. The graces are goddesses of charm, beauty, nature, human creativity, fertility. They're the dynamic, active force in creation, in nature, which fosters flourishing of humans and flourishing of all life. It's this idea of grace in the Christian context is something which God does through God's own sovereign will and choice, God electing and acting and moving in these ways of fertility with respect to Sarah and giving rise and birth to the people of God. And the theme continues in Matthew 9:35-10:8. This is an account of Jesus sending out his 12. It's you'll find this in other Gospels, but there's a feature in Matthew which is proper to this particular Gospel. Matthew is really written probably in Galilee or Syria after the destruction of Jerusalem, after the uprising in which Jewish Christians are in dialogue with synagogues and attempting to establish the authority by which these Jewish Christians claim Jesus as Messiah and argue that Jesus is the one through whom the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have been fulfilled. So in this case, Jesus says, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Focusing on the issues of importance to the Matthean community, going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the synagogues, and trying to bring them back into the fold. In order to fully explore the text, I'd recommend that you read Ezekiel 34, 2 through 16. Ezekiel was writing after the destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar in the context of the deportation and exile of the Jewish community to Babylon in the 6th century BCE. And Ezekiel writes, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and scattered they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, no one to search or seek for them. Then in verse 11, for thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep, will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out of the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel. Matthew takes up this theme from Ezekiel and images Jesus as this shepherd that Ezekiel anticipated as ending the exile, of bringing back the lost sheep, bringing back the scattered people of God into the fold and providing leadership and teaching. And this is done because Jesus sees the scattered folk, has compassion, and wants to gather them together into the one flock. So we have this whole idea that God will restore Israel, will gather together the people of God as an act of faithfulness to the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as an act of grace, of God's sovereign will, that all would be gathered into one body, one community, and nurtured by this one shepherd. God's faithfulness to his people is an act of compassion. In today's society, there's been a breakdown in authority and community cohesion. In the last few weeks, we've had to reflect on racism, discrimination, politics of fear, division, trying to pit one group against others. And this text is one of hope. It's saying God in Christ wants to gather us as one people, under one shepherd, as one community, in which by the power of the Holy Spirit, all can fully flourish in the reign of God, as God has given us the inner ability and orientation and gifts and talents and abilities. in Christ, we can promote life by valuing and respecting the life of others, of respecting those who are different, of respecting those who don't think the way we do, of respecting the essential dignity of all. And I think that this message of being one in Christ is an important message, I think, in the present context of learning to love and promote the full flourishing of all human beings as that essential dignity is recognized in Christ and gathered together under the one shepherd. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks that Jesus is that good shepherd, that in your sovereign will and grace and compassion, you've called us to be the people of God, rooted in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. By your grace, may we respond in faith that we in Christ may fully flourish as a community bound together in love and respecting the essential dignity of all of God's people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us confess our faith as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. All that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Amen. Let us offer our prayers to the source of all love and life, saying, Lord, hear our prayer. O Lord, guard and direct your church in the way of unity, service, and praise. Lord, hear our prayer. Give to all nations an awareness of the unity of the human family. Lord, hear our prayer. Cleanse our hearts of prejudice and selfishness, and inspire us to hunger and thirst for what is right. Lord, hear our prayer. Teach us to use creation for your greater praise, that all may share the good things you provide. Lord, hear our prayer. Strengthen all who give their energy or skill for the healing of those who are sick, in body or in mind. Lord, hear our prayer. Set free all who are bound by fear and despair. Lord, hear our prayer. Grant a peaceful end and eternal rest to all who are dying, and your comfort to those who mourn. Lord, hear our prayer. We commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. I invite you now to offer your own prayers and petitions to God. Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, without you, we are not able to please you. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.